Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Welcome to CRE Radio, and today's topic is the three P's of real estate. Our featured guest is Bo Barron. Our call-in number is 619-393-6492. That's 619-393-6492. Press 1 to talk. If you want to contact us on Twitter, go to the @CRE Radio. And here is Bo. Bo, welcome to the show.
Doing good, man. How are you?
Bo, why don't you introduce yourself by giving your 30-second elevator speech?
Sure. My name is Bo Barron. I am the Vice President of Organizational Development for Sperry Van Ness International Corporation. Basically means is my job is to improve the productivity, efficiency, and ultimately the productivity of our advisor base. We've got about 850 advisors in about 150 markets throughout the United States. And so my job is to engage with them and help them find, win, and fulfill more business. And I like to call myself the chief happiness officer because I'm ultimately responsible for delivering smiles. So in the past, I was a commercial real estate advisor with Sperry Van Ness. My father and I owned a local franchise in Western Kentucky. And at the beginning of this year, I sold that company back to my dad and took the corporate position that I was just describing. So I've got about an 8-9 year history as a commercial real estate broker, doing the deals, prospecting, building presence. And then for about a year now, I've been on the dark side of the corporate world, which has been an incredible learning experience.
Well, where in Western Kentucky? Are you near Bowling Green?
I'm an hour north of Bowling Green in a town called Owensboro, Kentucky.
Oh, interestingly enough, I just saw something about the School of Journalism out of Bowling Green. I didn't know that they had a School of Journalism. And, of course, I went to 1 year at Bowling Green, Ohio in 1969-1970. So I have special place in the name. So why don't we get right into the show here? You had written an article about the three P's of marketing. So why don't you tell us what the three P's are?
Yeah, happy to. Before I do, I was actually at a regional conference that our company had in Portland, Oregon. And I heard a guy describe these three P's as I'm about to describe them to you, and I thought, man, that is a great way to phrase what we're talking about. And the idea of the three P's isn't necessarily a good thing, but it describes what too many of us in commercial real estate do as a marketing strategy, and here are the three P's. The first thing you do is you put up a sign. The second thing you do is you put it online. And then the third thing you do is you hit your knees and you pray. And for too many people, that encompasses the totality of their marketing strategy. Put up a sign, put it online, and pray.
Well, should you not do any of those?
Absolutely, you should. You should be doing those things. But there's so much more in the world we live in now to raise the sophistication level of your marketing strategy. Because all you're doing when you put up a sign, put it online, and then pray. And look, I'm a big proponent of prayer, so I'm not saying that's a bad thing in any way. But you're just hoping somebody will see something and call you. You just, I'm going to put information out there. I'm going to put up a sign, and I'm going to hope somebody that has the ability to buy it, that has a need for it, that realizes their need for that property, is going to drive by or happen to hit the right website at the right time, see that information, and they're going to give me a call. See, you do the three things, and then you stare at the phone, waiting for somebody to call you. And frankly, for the types of commissions that I try to get our advisors to demand in the market today, that kind of marketing strategy isn't worth what I'm telling them they should be charging people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, let's talk a little bit about putting up a sign. I think it's a misnomer. Most landlords have the impression that that when you put up a sign, it's for the landlord's benefit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it really depends. And you're saying you think it's to the landlord's benefit. Are you saying that they think it's to their benefit?
Well, yeah, I'm saying that the landlords think it's to their benefit, where I know a lot of people who put up signs. Their idea is put up a sign, put it online, and pray, because it's nothing more than the broker's effort to promote themselves. They're not promoting the property. They're hoping that someone's going to drive by, see their name, see the phone number, call up about a space at that particular building, and then move them into some other space where they become the cooperating broker. I think that to a great extent, the brokers out there use it to promote themselves, not the property.
That certainly happens. There's no question. I remember we used to, as part of our listing presentation, we would talk about the net that we had over our community in all the signs that we had up. And we would share that, look, if a fish swims into our market because of the amount of signage that we have up in our market, we are going to capture that lead, that fish, and we'll have the opportunity then to show them your property. That would be part of our listing presentation. But here's the real truth. It's to the benefit of the landlord. It is to the benefit of the listing agent. It absolutely is. But now we're delving into the character of that advisor, that commercial real estate broker, on what are they going to do when they capture the lead from that sign? And are they going to deal in an ethical manner? Are they going to show the space? But that's part of what a listing advisor does. They're always trying to qualify their leads and find the best space to meet their needs.
Sure.
I would agree that it is to the landlord's benefit, but it certainly is to the advisor's benefit as well.
For the most part, if all you do is put up a sign, put it online, and pray, it probably inures to the broker's benefit a little bit more. Today we're discussing about the three P's of real estate with our guest, Bo Barron, here on CRE Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. If you need anything with your company logo on it, you need Monogram Magic. T-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, anything. Monogram Magic does it beautifully, does it right, and does it right on time. For over 20 years, Monogram Magic has produced corporate apparel your people will be proud to wear. Large orders or small, it's all about attention to detail. See for yourself. Here's the website, logostolife.com. That's L-O-G-O-S, the number 2, then L-I-F-E.com, logostolife.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
If you have questions or a point you'd like to make during the live show, call in at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue to speak live with Howard and his guests. That's 619 area 393 6492. 6492 during the live show, then press 1 to be placed in queue.
And today we're discussing the three P's of real estate with our guest Bo Barron here on CRE Radio. You had mentioned part of the second of the three P's, Bo. You referenced put it online. And then you just talked about the fish swimming into your area and that if you put up enough signs, you catch it. It's interesting that a couple of years ago, I actually spoke at a Sperry Van Ness event, and I talked about how social media, I used the analogy fishing also, except that I referenced that social media was throwing that net out there rather than just having a pole and waiting for the fish to come to your line and your hook, that social media was throwing the net out. And it's interesting that you use that analogy yourself. When you say put it online, what are you talking about?
Talking about putting it on every online portal that you can think of. So, for instance, your website as an obvious choice, where every brokerage should have a website that has their listings on that site. You know, LoopNet's the obvious one, or now Xceligent's rolling out commercialsearch.com to rival LoopNet. And then there's a myriad of other sites. But the idea is, if somebody's looking for any particular type of property that you have listed, you want to make sure that your listing is found. So you want it everywhere. I mean, absolutely everywhere. And that's what I mean when I say put it online. And it's the whole idea that if somebody's looking, they're going to find this property. And then hopefully, I pray that we get a call.
Now, the less you do, obviously, the harder you have to pray.
That's probably right. No question.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's how you distinguish yourself, is by going above and beyond, you know, not just doing the bare minimum. And this is in life like anything else. You had referenced in an earlier conversation airbags. What did you mean by airbags?
It's this whole idea that, you know, there was a certain point in time where airbag in a vehicle was a new thing. And it was the new safety feature. And when airbags came out, it was like an upsell, an upgrade on what you would normally buy. And so at that period of time when they were new, you would probably buy a car because it has an airbag. But as times have progressed, airbags are now a standard feature of a vehicle. And you would never buy a car because it has an airbag. However, you wouldn't buy a car that didn't have an airbag. It's such a standard feature that you just wouldn't conceive of purchasing a vehicle that didn't have an airbag these days. And these three P's that we're talking about are airbags. And I hate to lump prayer in there with that, but it's this idea of just putting up a sign and putting it online. Those are airbags. Everybody does that. Everybody should do that. If you're thinking of hiring a commercial real estate broker and they're not putting it online, if they're not using something as simple as putting a sign up there to advertise to all eyes that pass by that this property is available in some way, you should not hire that broker. But if that's all you do, you have zero differentiation with the rest of the market. You're doing what everybody does. Anybody can do that. My 18-year-old cousin could get a real estate license tomorrow and do exactly the same thing, have it on the same websites, have a sign up there. And now, how am I different in any other way than somebody who's, if we're just competing on the surface or at the level of the airbags? That's what I mean when I'm talking about what an airbag is.
Why is the differentiation significant? And is it the same across all levels of commercial real estate? Or is I think the question I'm looking for is, I know that differentiation is important, but how do you vary that, and is it more important for some people than others? And then how do you differentiate yourself if you don't have the knowledge and experience?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. If you are providing a service that is not differentiated in any way from your competitors, then there's only one reason to choose you. Just one. And Howard, what would you say that is?
Because I look so good.
Well, okay, so then there's two. You can either be the best looking or you're the cheapest.
Yeah.
It's price. If you have no differentiating value to offer, if your value proposition looks exactly like all of your competitors, the only reason anyone will ever hire you is on cost or price or the fact that you're the cheapest. And frankly, I don't know any of us in this business that care to be the value broker. That's why differentiating is so important, because we want to absolutely show and communicate why you're different, why you're better, why you should pay me more to do a job better than you could pay my competitor sitting with me in the waiting room.
How do you do that? How do you show that you're different?
Well, one, you have to be different. And we can talk about, you know, how does a new-to-business person walk in and talk about expertise and experience when they have none?
Right.
Well, they borrow the expertise and experience of their firm. I mean, you almost a fake it till you make it type of thing. But let's just take the mid-career, senior career guy who is in the waiting room with three of his competitors waiting to go in and pitch a piece of real estate, or I'm sorry, to give a listing presentation to try to win business. Those presentations generally look the same. Somebody goes in there and they talk about their bio, their history. I've been in the business this many years. I've done this many deals. I've sold this many buildings that are very similar to yours. On top of that, my company's been around for 20 decades. We're the oldest in the market. We've done the most business over X amount of time. More than that, I have the largest database of buyers. So far in this presentation, all I've done is drone on about me, myself, my company, my buyer list. And then finally, I'm going to talk about your property, give my valuation of your property, and try to negotiate a fee that I can walk out proud of. The client, the prospect who's sitting on the other side of that table listening to this standard commercial real estate presentation over and over and over again. And if you're the last guy in, you better bring a six pack with you, because the prospect has been bored out of his tree by that point. So the best way in a listing presentation scenario to differentiate yourself is to refuse to do the dog and pony show this way. And when I say refuse, what I'm talking about is insert into the equation a needs analysis interview. This is so important. There's a time in my career where I stopped doing canned listing presentations, and I required, if I was going to do the dog and pony show like I just described, you know, four brokers in a waiting room waiting to give their listing presentation, I required that I be able to do a needs analysis interview. You may think, well, they say no. And my rebuttal to that is, look, if you want me to show you how I can accomplish your best interests, how I can meet your needs and solve your problems, I need to know what your needs are. I need to know what your highest interests are. I need about 10 minutes to ask you a few questions.
This is,
and then I will be able.
Bo, this is very important stuff, but I need to pause briefly for a few words from our beloved sponsors. And I'd like to get into a full discussion of the way that you're presenting this, this needs an analysis presentation, because I think that this is really to the heart of how you differentiate yourself. So we'll be right back.
Do more business with your biggest clients. Techniques Marketing has perfected exciting new ways to increase your revenue with all your key accounts, way beyond trial and error. And we've done it with some of the biggest companies in America. Look, if you're happy with your numbers, great. If not, let's talk. Visit TechniquesMarketing.com. TECH, that's the tech, NIQUES. There you've got the Neeks. TechniquesMarketing.com. The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site, PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. Thanks for being with us today. So, Bo, when we, just before the break, you were talking about the needs and analysis, and you were approaching the landlord, asking the landlord or the customer, let me have 10 minutes of your time to find out really how I'm going to take care of your needs. So why don't you fill in the gap now?
Sure. But the real reason why it's in my or in the prospect's best interest to allow me to do that is I can either come in and get a canned listing presentation, or I can share with them what I can do to meet their specific needs and what's more valuable to them. It's the latter every time. And so if you can get 10 minutes, and let me share this in the context of a story. A couple of years ago, I had a woman referred to me through a CPA, and she already had a real estate company that had traditionally done all of her work, but because the CPA referred her to me, she gave me a call. So I'm in a competitive environment. If I want to win this business, I've got to beat out the company she's done all her previous deals with. And so I spent 10 minutes with her, and instead of just understanding the fact that she wanted to sell her portfolio of about 15 properties, I could have just gone in and given her, you know, a canned presentation, but I wanted to ask her a few questions first. So I asked her a couple questions like this. What are the problems that you're having with your property? What's your motivation to sell? What keeps you up at night because of these properties that you own? And because I was asking questions like that, trying to pinpoint her pain points or trying to figure out what her highest interests are, I learned a couple things. One is, she owned multifamily properties, and the management aspect of these was killing her. Beyond the management aspect, her income on a monthly basis would fluctuate greatly based on what their vacancy rate was, based on how many HVAC units they had to replace. And so she didn't have the ability to know what her income was going to be from month to month, which meant she couldn't spend the resources that she had. She had to hold back in case they had a bad month. And also learned that she'd had bad experiences with brokers in the past where she felt like there was very little accountability or communication. So I took that information and crafted a presentation that basically said, look, let's sell these multifamily properties for you. We'll take the money. You've got a lot of equity. I'll show you how to do a 1031 exchange into some mailbox money type properties like a Dollar General store or some other single tenant net lease. So you'll be able to know exactly what your monthly income is going to be. You're going to have very, very little, if no, management responsibilities. And beyond that, I'm going to give you complete ability to hold me accountable to do exactly what I'm promising that I was going to do. And then I shared with her how I was going to market her properties proactively, not just passively. And I won the business because I had a 10-minute conversation. I knew exactly what her needs were, and I was able to craft a presentation that didn't talk about me the whole time. But I was talking about how I was going to meet her needs, how I was going to surpass her expectations, and how I was going to get her in the type of property that's going to be able to sustain her lifestyle. That was her highest interest moving forward. And that's the difference between me going in and doing something like that versus going in and talking about my experience, my education, the size of my company, the width and breadth of my buyer database. She didn't care any about that stuff. She cared about how I was going to solve her management problems, stabilize her income, and simplify her life.
Well, boy, you just gave me a lot of things to ask questions about. My thought is what you're talking about is almost sales 101. It's about more about listening than it is talking. How do you get brokers to truly understand that?
If I could succinctly answer that question, I'd be a wealthy person. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I shout it from the rooftops. You know, I write blog posts about it. I do whatever I can. But it really takes somebody that's committed to changing the way they do things, because what we're taught is, you know, prospect our tails off, make calls after calls, canvas buildings, get meetings, give presentations, win business. But it's all generally encased in the idea of making the amount of money that you want to make. If you take a different mindset approach to this and think, man, I get to get up every morning and make people's lives better. I get to solve their problems. I get to help them maximize their opportunities or actualize their opportunities. Then you're going about your day thinking about what's in it for everybody else, and you sound different on the phone. You shake people's hands differently because your complete mindset is changed from what's in it for me to what's in it for them. And you can tell. And it's that mindset shift that I think would be the most important change for any broker wanting to go from mediocrity and turning themselves into a top producer.
Now, that is profound, and I mean that seriously. You want to sound genuine to make yourself feel comfortable, not in order to do the deal. But that's not an easy thing to accomplish. For someone like you, it is. Frankly, for someone like me, as a lawyer, I get excited helping my clients. As a broker, I was excited about helping the clients and doing a great job. The money was icing on the cake.
Sure.
But how do you get – most people aren't like that. I think a lot are, but I think most people are just trained, do the money. Where's the beef?
Yeah, and some companies are set up to drive that type of production. If you create a company culture where the client's interests are always first, and you can – and that is as cliche as you can possibly get. Yeah, we're a client first company. You hear that all the time. But to actually pull that off is I think, more art than science. I wouldn't purport to be an expert at how to do that. I just know that when you're in it for the best interest of the person you're serving, everything works out better.
Yeah,
it just does.
It just happens naturally. We'll be right back with more from Bo Barron here on CRE Radio.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to prospectnow.com and enter the promotion code Howard. That's prospectnow.com.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. Tacticsmagazine.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
We're discussing the three P's of real estate on CRE Radio with Bo Barron. Welcome back. Bo, how important is likability?
Hugely important. People do business with people they like and trust. And I would make this caveat. When you get to deal sizes about $20 million and up, that are more institutional plays, I think the likability factor goes way down. But when you're dealing with owner users, when you're dealing with families, individuals, the likability factor is huge in that middle market of, you know, $1 million to $20 million deals. The players in those type of deals want relationships. They want to know that they can like and trust you. They want to be able to, you know, go fishing with you. When you do a deal, I remember, did an apartment deal at the end of 2012, about an $8 million deal. So it was very significant in a market our size. And I became fast friends with the owner. This was a huge transaction and affected probably the next couple generations of their family. It was a big deal, and I played a role in that, and that almost brought me into the family. And if you're not likable, if you don't have integrity and other character qualities, you can really shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, is it necessary to be nice to be likable?
No, not necessarily. Nice and likable are two different things, because someone's hiring you to be effective, to produce results, to help them solve a problem or actualize their highest interests. That's, being nice isn't always the most effective way to do that, but you don't have to be mean on the other side of it. You can negotiate in a bold and very firm way while still having complete integrity and using ethical methods. I wouldn't equate likable and nice. Sometimes you need to have a reality check. And you need to have a hard conversation. And those aren't always nice conversations.
So true. When you're interviewing a prospect, how do you convey the likability factor? Well, let me stop
That's
you
a
there.
Great question.
Does it vary from prospect to prospect?
Let me answer that in two ways. I think maybe the most important thing when we talk about likability is the prospect understanding that you're genuine and authentic. And in that sense, it won't change from prospect to prospect. I'm not going to change who I am to fit who's sitting across the table from me. I'm going to use the same skill set. I've still got the same personality. So if I try to be someone I'm not, I'm disingenuous, all of a sudden they're going to be able to tell. And that's going to reduce the likability factor. At the same time, and I've never seen anyone do this as well as my father, he can be talking to C-level executives, and he can communicate on their level. And then he can go have lunch with a farmer client of his, and he can communicate in their language as well. And he's not being disingenuous at all. He just has the ability to speak the nuanced languages of different types of people. And I'm not trying to insinuate that a farmer is any less sophisticated than a C-level executive, but their dress is different, their mannerisms are different, their speech is generally different. And I've watched my dad over and over again communicate in the language of the person sitting across the table from him. It's so impressive. But he's exactly the same guy to every one of these. He works exactly the same way, as hard for one as for the other. And I've tried to emulate that. That was my example. But a little bit of both, I guess. You want to be authentic to who you are, and you also want to be mindful of who you're speaking with.
Let's talk a little bit about proactive marketing versus passive marketing. You have five steps, I think it is. So why don't we start with the first one? Profile the ideal buyer customer.
Yeah, this is, and what we're talking about now is proactive marketing, as opposed to passive marketing, which the three P's fall under that category. I'm going to put all kinds of information out to the market, and hopefully somebody will see it, and they'll call me. This is the other side of the coin, proactive marketing. And the first thing you need to do to work this system that I promote on how to proactively market a property is you have to build the ideal profile of the buyer of the property or the tenant or whatever the case may be. And what the marketing folks would do is say you have to build your avatar. And we need to do that as well. So if you're trying to list a vacant acre and a half corner lot at Main and Main in some town, who's the most likely buyer for that? And you're going to come up with some, you know, it might be a drugstore, it might be a bank branch, it might be a myriad of other uses, but you need to figure out who the likely buyers are for that. And that takes a little bit of market knowledge. It takes some experience. It takes brainstorming. If you have to pull in people from your office that have been working that type of property longer to help you build this idea of who the ideal buyer is, you do that. Because that's going to shape the rest of what you do on this proactive system.
Well, you got to know where you're going before you go.
Yeah, this is the difference between passive marketing, which is a shotgun approach. I'm just getting information out there, and hopefully the ideal buyer is going to stumble on it and call me. This is a laser-like focused approach where you're going to spend time making sure that the likely buyers absolutely know about this property. And you have to know who those people are first.
Obviously. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how you go about targeting those people and how I used to do it before the internet.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. If you need anything with your company logo on it, you need Monogram Magic. T-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, anything. Monogram Magic does it beautifully, does it right, and does it right on time. For over 20 years, Monogram Magic has produced corporate apparel your people will be proud to wear. Large orders or small, it's all about attention to detail. See for yourself. Here's the website, logostolife.com. That's L-O-G-O-S, the number 2, then L-I-F-E.com, logostolife.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com. CRE.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Welcome back to our discussion of the three P's of real estate with Bo Barron. Before the break, I was in the process of talking to Bo about this proactive marketing. Years ago, when I would market a shopping center or retail or office property, it just seemed to make sense that you stop and think about, well, who are the people who might be interested in leasing this property? And then the thought was, well, now's the time you go out and you start dialing for dollars. Start calling people. Do you need more space? What kind of space? And you target it. I don't understand why people wouldn't even think of doing that.
A lot of us are lazy. Is one reason. This is work.
Yeah.
But once you know who your likely buyers are, you know, the next step is to build a list.
Right.
And you just put them on a piece of paper, and then you design a system to pursue those, the people on that list. And, you know, it's much like how you find business in the first place, how you build a prospecting system. You're going to define your geography and your specialty. Then you're going to build your database. And then you're going to start pursuing the people in that database. You're going to send them something in the mail. You're going to call. You're going to get a meeting. You're going to give a presentation after you have your needs analysis interview. And then you're going to win that business. But once you've won that business, you're going to do the same thing on the other side, and it's not prospecting anymore. It's marketing the property that you've just won the business on. You have to go find the buyer now. So you figure out who the likely buyer is, and you build a list. And then you pursue the people on that list. And you can do that in a lot of different ways. I mean, you can use direct mail. I love using postcards. You don't have to open anything. And even if somebody looks at it for a second on their way to throwing it in the trash, they're probably going to see my name. They're probably going to see the logo of my company. And they're probably going to see at least a picture of the property. And the picture might stop that descent to discard the postcard into the trash can. It's an effective way, economically speaking. So there's a lot of benefits to that. You can use email blasts, which is the cheapest way. We all get way too many emails every day, but business is done in such a way. And it's the cheapest and the easiest way to reach the widest audience is to send out an email blast.
Let's go back to the direct mail again. Direct mail has got there's positives and negatives. The negative is that it's costly. The positive to direct mail is that because nobody's really using it that much anymore, it's highly effective.
Oh, it is. It's so effective, and it's a differentiator. I mean, think about walking into a listing presentation, going back to that, and sharing with the prospect, hey, look, here's how I market the property. I'm going to go through this proactive system, and we're going to figure out who the likely buyer is. We're going to pursue those people. And this is an example of some of the things that I like to send in the mail. Here's a sample letter. Here's a flyer. Here's a postcard. Things that I use to send in the mail. And showing that, by the way, I've done this before. It's worked. I'm doing it right now. It's working. And I will do it again for you, and it'll work there too. That's a way to differentiate yourself.
Do you have examples of that that we can put on the show page?
Sure.
Yeah, why don't you scan
sure,
some of
that
and send that over to me, and we'll put that on the page. So let's talk a little bit about email blasting. Email blasting, the advantages are that it's cheap. The disadvantage is that everybody does it, so you're not really differentiating yourself. How do you differentiate yourself in an email blast?
Well, the most important thing is the title, the subject heading. The same thing if you're writing an article or anything else, the heading is the most important thing. So you need to write something that's going to give people a reason. And generally, you want to put your benefit statement in the subject line. So you're answering the question, what's in it for me being the reader of the email. Tell them what's in it for them if they want to open and grace your email with their eyeballs for 15 seconds. What's in it for them? And too often it's like just listed, 20,000 square feet, address. You know, we see thousands of those in a week. But the subject is by far the most important thing.
Well, give me an example of what you would do.
It's hard to standardize this, but the best advice I ever got on writing headlines or subject lines on emails is to go look at a Cosmopolitan magazine, which I didn't have any experience with beforehand, obviously. But they're the very best at writing headlines that woo you as you walk by in a checkout line and make you want to read what's in that magazine. And they're great at giving benefit statements. So let's take a multifamily listing that's 20%, the rents are 20% below market. Well, I don't want to put in 172 units for $8 million just listed in the subject line. I want to put something like, this property just listed, possibility of realizing $1.5 million of value just by getting, and this is way too long, I'd have to shorten it, but
sure,
just by getting it to market rents. I'm communicating that there's upside here. There's a possibility. It's just not units and a price. It's, and why would somebody want to take a look at this property? Because there's a huge upside. And you want to figure out how to communicate that in the subject line so somebody can look at it. But here's the other thing about emails, Howard, is I send emails to my target list because it helps me whittle down who I should call first. And if you use iContact or Constant Contact or MailChimp or AWeber or any of these services, they track who opens it, how many times they open it, if they forward it on. And once you start seeing those analytics, that becomes your call list. This guy in the last 3 hours has opened this email four times. He's absolutely going to get a call from me before somebody who hasn't even opened the email.
Great advice.
It helps you prioritize. I mean, use the analytics at your disposal to whittle down and further target who you're going to call first.
Hmm. I think those are good points. Let's talk, now that you're on to the phone calls, let's talk about the phone calls.
It's just like calling a prospect. You want to do a little bit of research so that you know something about who you're calling. You want to know what they own. There's a reason why they're on your target list. And it's probably because they own property like what you're trying to sell or you're trying to lease or whatever the case may be. And so the key in this type of phone call is to succinctly and quickly communicate the purpose of your call. And so I might call you up and say, Howard, it's Bo Barron. I'm with Sperry Van Ness. And the purpose of my call is to share with you a piece of property that's a lot like what you already own that just hit the market. I want you to be one of the first people to take a look at this because I think it's something that would fit perfectly in your portfolio.
Have you ever been surprised by, you know, we're going to have to take a little break, but I want you to think about this, you know, when we come back. Have you ever been surprised by one of these initial calls, the response? And we'll be, when we come back, you'll be answering that question.
Do more business with your biggest clients. Techniques Marketing has perfected exciting new ways to increase your revenue with all your key accounts, way beyond trial and error. And we've done it with some of the biggest companies in America. Look, if you're happy with your numbers, great. If not, let's talk. Visit TechniquesMarketing.com. T-E-C-H, that's the tech. N-I-Q-U-E-S, there you've got the Neeks. TechniquesMarketing.com. The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site, PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-area-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
And we are back discussing the three P's with our guest, Bo Barron. When we last left off, I threw a surprise question to Bo, but I did give him a little bit of time to think about his answer. Tell us whether or not you've ever been surprised by the response that surprised by a response from your calling on these prospects.
I used to be surprised all the time because I would wing it. And so if they said yes, I remember one time somebody was telling me, yes, they wanted to meet with me to talk about this property. And I kept talking. My dad walked in my office and he was like, hang up the phone. They said yes. Learn to take yes for an answer. But I'll tell you what helped me, and I'm trying to think of a specific instance where I was just really surprised. And I can't come to mind, but Rod Santomassimo, the Massimo Group, and I know you've probably had him on your show and know Rod.
Sure.
He taught me something that really helped me out with phone calls like this, and I'm never surprised anymore because there's only five ways. There's only five directions that one of these calls can go. They just say yes, and then you shut up, set the meeting, and go meet the person and move the ball forward. Or they say no, and it's a definitive no, and sometimes you can – you know, you make a gut call on whether you want to push or not. But sometimes a no is a no. Sometimes they tell you, send me some information, which often is code for please just get off my phone so I can do something else. And Rod has a great way to turn that response into a meeting. The fourth one is sometimes you're talking to the wrong person, and then you data mine to find out, okay, who should I be talking to? You're always trying to get better information. Or sometimes they say, you know, it's not that I'm a yes or a no. It's just I don't have any interest right now. And an obvious follow-up question is, well, when would you be interested or who might be interested? You're always trying to get more information so you can be more effective. But once you kind of have a game plan for responding to those five directions that a call can go, you don't get surprised much anymore. And look, I live in the Bible Belt. People are generally pretty nice around here. And so I was trying to think of some, you know, instance where somebody might have been rude to me, or that just didn't happen a whole lot around here. Here's one though. Sometimes if I'm calling somebody and I'm getting no response from them, I learned this from Rod as well. I'll send a no response email, which basically says, hey, look, I've left a couple of messages for you, and obviously you're not interested in what I have to offer or whatever. You know, I'll describe what I'm trying to get a hold of them for. And I basically thank them for the opportunity to earn their business. Sorry, we won't be doing business right now, and let them know that I may just ping them in the future sometime. But until then, if they have any questions, give me a holler, something like that. And I get all kinds of responses from that kind of thing.
Oh, really?
And a lot of times people are irritated. They're like, are you saying I don't return my messages? Well, actually, I'm saying that I called you three times and I had to send you an email to tick you off for you to return my message. But it's remarkable how that works sometimes. But that's about the only time I've really had to deal with people that are irritated with me calling. Because, like I said, I'm in a smaller town in Western Kentucky. We got about 100,000 people. I'm third generation in the business. And so just by nature of the blessing that my last name is, I can generally talk to people in this community that I'm trying to talk to. And, you know, smaller towns are highly relational. And
well,
my
wife likes to convey the story of occasionally someone will hang up on her, you know, just click. And she loves calling back and go, you know, we lost the connection.
I think we got cut off. Yeah.
She loves doing that. And she has actually, and that works very well for her. That works very, very well for her. Yeah, she actually is great, great at cold calling. Let's talk about engaging the brokerage community, because this is really, really important. This is where most of your deals are really going to come from.
Yeah, and you know, you asked me earlier, how do you differentiate yourself, or how do you prove that you're a client first company? This is how you do it. If you've got a listing, if you've been engaged to sell or lease a piece of property, if you engage the brokerage community, you are offering half of your fee to your competition to bring you the other side of that deal. And the only reason you would do that is if you're putting your client's best interests before your own. Because it's not in your best interest to split your fee. It's in your best interest to double in the deal. The problem with that is no one firm controls any market. The commercial real estate industry is so fractured that nobody has the market cornered on buyers or tenants or the other side of any deal. So if you want to get the most potential buyers or tenants onto your listing, the only way to do that is to engage the brokerage community to use half your fee as a carrot or as an incentive to bring the largest buyer pool possible to your listing. And if you do that, you're truly putting the client's best interests. All right. But this is what brokers don't really want to do this because they want to try to double in the fee first. Let's put all that aside and think about this. The first thing you should do when you list a piece of property is talk to every broker in your market that has a property similar to yours. And the reason is it's likely if they are showing a property that they have listed and it doesn't work out, they could turn around and show the property you have listed. And if they know that you're happy to pay them a fee to bring them a deal, then you can work very closely with other brokers that have similar listings, and you can get a lot of deal flow going that way. But we don't like to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's to me, that seems to be the way to go about doing business is cooperating. That's why it's called cooperating broker and a listing broker.
Mm-hmm. But that's a bad word in some companies.
Well, of course it is. That's why you have pocket listings. Because people get greedy and, you know, if they have the ability to put a deal together very quickly, but even then, if you're going with a pocket listing, nobody ever really knows whether or not they could do better by putting it out there in the rest of the market.
That's exactly right. The seller can never answer the question if they left money on the table or not. They have no way of knowing. They got a buyer, but they have no clue if they got the best buyer, if they maximized the potential of their property because they didn't expose it to the whole market. And the only reason is so that the broker can earn more. That's the only reason.
Yeah. So you contact brokers with similar listings. What about hosting a broker forum or an open house? Does that have any value anymore?
Yeah, I think so. A broker forum, all we're talking about there is you invite a group of brokers who are doing business in your market and you get together in some structured way. And you can generally get an attorney like you, Howard, to even sponsor the event, have the ability to come and speak about the services that you provide. And then you spend the rest of the time potentially over a meal. And in a structured way, you share with the other brokers in the room who are not even going to be with your company what you're working on. And it's a great way to increase deal flow, to cooperate with other brokers, and to expose your listing to a larger buyer pool in a structured event. And I've yet to ever be to a broker forum where deals did not come out of it. Yeah. It's so effective. But it's work to put together, and so people generally won't do it.
I think it would be sacrilegious if we ended the show without discussing blogging, podcasting, social media, video, etc. So as soon as we hear from some of the people who pay the bills around here, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to be proactive on social media.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. tacticsmagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promotion code Howard. That's ProspectNow.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
And we're back with Bo Barron. When we last spoke with Bo, we were talking briefly about being proactive in social media. Bo being one of the better known bloggers out there, has a wonderful blog website. How do you turn social media? If you're going to go out there and blog and do videos, how do you turn that into business?
To answer that question, we have to bring up two more P words, as seems to be the theme of the show. You have to differentiate between prospecting and building presence. And there are two sides to the same coin, and they fit together, and it's so important to do both well. And here's the difference. If you prospect like a machine and no one knows who you are, you have zero presence in your market, it's just very hard. It makes the whole process very difficult. On the flip side, if everybody knows who you are and you're not prospecting, then my favorite line is, you'll be famous but broke. But if you're able to do the two things together, then you're very well known and you're prospecting like crazy. It greases the whole – there, every gear in the sales process is easier if you're known. And the reason I bring up the difference between presence and prospecting is I think social media is not the best or not a good medium at all to prospect on. However, it's a fantastic way to build presence, to demonstrate your expertise, to be able to tell about deal stories that you've done, to help educate people without screaming from a megaphone, hire me, hire me, hire me. So I use social media to build presence, which helps me in every way when I'm prospecting, when I'm trying to find, win, and fulfill more business. Being known as an expert in your market just helps in every one of those three categories of the brokerage continuum, which are finding, winning, and fulfilling business.
Well, that's it gives you credibility. Just the fact that you're out there and you can talk intelligently or you understand the market, you don't have to convince anybody of that.
No, that's right. You're literally just demonstrating.
No, absolutely. And I think it's where most people make the mistake in social media is that they treat it as prospecting. So, of course, on Twitter you get to see a lot of property just listed or,
yeah,
you know, come to my website or things like that. And if I'm following someone and I see that, I unfollow them. So they don't get
instantly.
Yeah. They
yeah,
don't
instantly.
Get it.
Look, do not sell on social media. That's why it's called social media. It's relational.
Yes.
It's for engaging with people. It's for adding value to their lives, building relationships. It's not for selling. It's not about what they can do for you. That's not what Twitter, LinkedIn, that's not what any of that's for. And certainly not if you're blogging. The whole purpose of blogging is to produce content that adds value to the lives of others who would read it and share it with others. And by the way, I don't even know if you want me to communicate any of this or maybe what you have up your sleeve next, but to the commercial real estate broker that's listening to this, there are four things that you should be blogging about, and really just four main things. And with some of my clients, I help run an exercise where they can come up with 50 blog topics in 10 minutes, and then you essentially have a year's worth of blog topics to write about if you're doing one a week. And here are the four categories. The first is deal stories. People love to hear about what's going on in the market, and it's a great way to communicate how awesome you are at what you do without actually saying I'm awesome. So you tell the story of the deals. Now, don't share confidential information, but to the extent that you can let them know, you know, what were the challenges of the deal? What did you do to overcome that? What were the results? You know, what it gives people an idea of what's going on in the market, and that's information that they want to use. The second thing you should be writing about are trends, market trends. And I wouldn't do this very much because it's boring, but if you do it maybe once a quarter, it demonstrates that you know what you're talking about, and it is valuable to some people to understand market trends. The third thing is news that affects commercial real estate. And here's the litmus test on what you should be writing about as far as the news is concerned. And that is, if people are talking about it, you should be writing about it. And an example of that that's going on right now is, I believe, Houston, in downtown Houston, they're reassessing their property values. So they're trying to generate more tax revenue without raising the property tax rates. They're raising the value of the properties. And I've got a buddy of mine who's an office tenant rep down there, and he says it's just, and it's a topic of conversation on the streets in the downtown central business district. And so he's writing about it. So if they're talking about it on the street corners, you should be writing about it as far as CRE news is concerned. But then the fourth category, I think, is the most important one. And this is CRE 101 stuff, like what's a cap rate? What's the difference between usable and rentable square feet? What's ROI mean? What's internal rate of return? What's a net present value? All these things, because the truth is, every whale of an investor that you know that you wish you had for a client, they did their first deal sometime. Sometime they didn't know anything that they know now. And you have the opportunity to educate the next generation of people who are going to end up being those huge investors. And if you're the one that educates them, who's going to be the top of mind person when they have a commercial real estate need? It's going to be you, because you've added a tremendous amount of value. You've taught them the business of commercial real estate. And if you sit down with a sheet of paper and draw four columns and try to come up with 20 to 25 deal stories, 20 CRE 101 topics, and then fill in the gap with market trends and news, you've got a year's worth of content. You blog once a week. And now the biggest hurdle of blogging is out of the way, and that is, what the heck am I going to write about?
Yeah, actually, in my case,
anybody.
I was going to say, in my case, I have so much to write about, sometimes I freeze like a deer in the headlights.
Well, you're now, the rare case.
Well, no, but I'm sure that you do. All of a sudden, you have so much to write about. Oh, where do I begin? And sometimes you just have to start. That's all.
That's right.
Yeah. What's the single most important takeaway from this show? Here's your bacon.
I would say to be intentional and proactive. If you can remember those two words about being intentional and proactive. Intentional in the sense that I'm going to get up every day and intentionally try to better the lives of the people I serve. If you can shift your mindset from that away from how can I make more money? How can I meet a quota? How can I do something that's me related? If you can shift your focus onto how you can better the lives of the people you serve and be intentional about it, if that can be your underlying thought in your mind, that's the only thing you change. Everything about how that flows, everything about how you do your business will inherently change, and it'll get better. And then just you know, the whole topic of this was the three P's: put up a sign, put it online, and pray. These passive ways of doing things, so hopefully I'll get a phone call. That's just not good enough anymore. You need to be proactive about how you try to serve your clients. Build that avatar of the likely buyer or tenant. You know, build your list. Pursue that list. Engage the brokerage community. Those are things that you should be doing to better serve your clients, to enhance their lives, and ultimately it's going to enhance yours.
I'd like to add, while not directly on point, use social media. You'd be surprised at how the commonality among people, how it pierces through everything else, no matter, you know, what part of the country, what part of the world, the things in common come out. The fact that you so strongly believe that do things for others, that's something that appeals to me. I think that's why we've been able to make a connection. And people like Linda Day Harrison, I might add, mm-hmm. Hello, Linda, or Alan Buchanan. You know, to me, I've created friendships with genuinely good people. I like to do business with people like you, people like Alan and Linda and other people, because you communicate the things that are important to you. You don't talk about when you write. You don't say, hey, look how wonderful I am because I do these things. You just simply express yourself, and in expressing yourself that way, that comes out. And I applaud you.
Yeah, that's a really astute – well, thank you. That's an astute observation about, you know, how social media really brings together people of the same cloth, so to speak. I mean, these are religious reference there, but, you know, people like Alan and Linda, I've never physically met either one of those two, but I absolutely consider them friends, and I feel like I know them to a certain degree because we've engaged and connected through social media. And, yeah, if I had the opportunity, I would absolutely do business with them. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's an amazing – it's, to me, it's a phenomenon. But I think it's because you're – simply communicating online, it strips away all of the garbage that we might get involved in, and we hear the real person loud and clear. Bo, why don't you let us know how people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. The best way to connect with me is through my blog, which is bobarron.com. My last name is spelled BARRON.com. I try to blog once, sometimes twice a week on a lot of the things that we're talking about. Matter of fact, I wrote a blog post and it turned into this show, which was the 3P's. So you can go back and read more comment and content about this. But that's the best way. I'm on Twitter at BoBarron, CCIM, and you can find me on LinkedIn as well. But Howard, thanks for the opportunity to be on your show again. I'm a huge fan. Matter of fact, that your previous episode with Gene Trowbridge on the new syndication laws might have saved me a lawsuit. So thank you very much.
Well, actually, Gene,
all that, and that's been a huge, huge benefit to me. So I'm a huge fan of yours, and the content that you produce makes my life better, and is the same for so many other people. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And as always, to our audience, you can leave comments and see our show notes at www.creradio.com. And always, thanks for listening. Bo, thank you very much for being on the show, and have a great holiday.
You too, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. on our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com, on Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.